Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio.
Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. This is the part two episode. So remember, the part one is just 15 minutes. This part two, I'm bringing somebody on and we're going to talk a little bit more. This is going to be more the storytelling side, the color behind how do we determine market saturation. And so in my many travels across the country, I meet lots of really cool hosts and I hear their stories. And so first off, I want to introduce Elizabeth Richmond. She is a co-host and owner in North Georgia Mountains. Elizabeth, do you have properties in other places? You want to kind of give yourself a little brief, like, you know, tell us who you are kind of thing.
So I am based out of Metro Atlanta. I'm in Stone Mountain, Georgia, but my properties include the spare bedroom in my house, our basement apartment. We have a camper on site at our house. So I do a lot of house hacking. And then we also have a little cabin in North Georgia.
That's awesome.
And then I'm co-host across the country.
Yeah. So what markets are you in?
Oh gosh, from LA to Cedar Key, Florida, Connecticut, Chicago, all over the place.
Dang. Okay. What more than I'll have you on for more episodes, house hacking or other stuff. That's really interesting. So what I kind of want to share with everyone is just Elizabeth, when we first met, just like we don't have to go into the details of where and the experiences but we met at the conference. And one of the things though that we're talking about, you were like, I'm in North Georgia. And I was like, oh man, your properties must be doing awful. Because everyone calls me like the Blue Ridge hater, Kenny Bedwell, the Blue Ridge hater. But, and then you're like, actually, I'm doing really well. And so, and that's what I want to talk about. I'm like, whoa, I was like, well, what are you doing? You must have some really luxury place. You must, you know, be showing up for the guests and giving them stuff and everyone's raving about it or something. So, and you told me, and that's what I want people to hear about, because when we talk about saturation, you're in a heavily saturated market based on the data metrics, based on everything I talked about in my last podcast episode, part one, about how to measure saturation. If you haven't listened to it, please go listen to that first. It's only 15 minutes. Then come and listen to this one. So this market is really, really, really saturated. And we're going to look through some of your properties. And I want, in the first one we're going to dive into is very impressive. So everybody listening, she is literally this property. It's in the 95th percentile. If you're watching this on YouTube, you're going to be amazed because it's not some super ultra luxury property. It's not this brand new construction property. It's an amazing property. And so I'm going to share my screen with you with everybody, I guess. And let's kind of dive into it. Okay. So Elizabeth, tell us about this property. What are you doing? What did you tell me you were doing different that stands out that makes you in the 95th percentile for two bedrooms in Blue Ridge, Georgia, where you're actually making a ton of money and this is a cash flowing deal? So tell me about it.
Yes. Well, okay. So backstory, when I saw you at the conference, I think it said Blue Ridge was like the second worst market in the US to invest in when you look at numbers. And this cabin was proving that. So it had a different manager previous to me who actually was like a local manager. They did all the linens. They took care of all the housekeeping. So things were being well taken care of. It was just lost in the sauce. So this particular cabin was built in the late 90s. So if we look at it, like, it has blue laminate countertops. You can tell it's not like the most recently renovated, but it's a nice, like, you know, mountain log cabin style.
Yeah.
So it's great in that aspect. It has amazing views, which is really fun. The problem that I ran into, though, was the builder that actually built this cabin, Sisson Homes, literally took this floor plan. They knew it worked and they plopped it down like, I don't know, 400 times on this mountain. Mm. So unfortunately, like, yeah, cool floor plan, everybody has it, or great views, everybody has them.
Yep.
So the owner came to me and she's like, hey, last ditch effort. Don't know if we're going to be able to keep the cabin because it's just not making the money we expected. what do we do? And it's hard. Like, how do you stand out? And so for this one, we decided to do the pet friendliest mountain cabin that we could possibly think of. So really amping up dogs, which you can see in our photos. We do a ton of stuff for dogs, asking people to take pictures of their dogs for us. So a lot of those photos you were showing were actually our guests' photos.
Oh, wow.
And they get super excited, and then they're sharing them on social media. So we're getting kind of amped up that way.
Mm-hmm. I guess, like, for everyone listening to this, like, literally, I do encourage people to go and watch this, probably watch this episode on the YouTube channel too, at SCR Insights. She's got the hot tub. She's got the fire pit. She's got really awesome views. It's a decent cabin. It's not brand new by any means, but it's a decent cabin. But that's not what's moving the needle here. It's like every other picture has a picture with a dog, like, staring off, you know, at the views of the sunset, or a dog, you know, like, this one's like a dog and it's, you know, like, it's day bed or whatever, or a dog over by the fire pit or the wood bundle, you know, just like all these different things showing, like, this truly is the pet friendliest place. And then tell me about this picture here. Like, what is this? Tell me about this.
So not only did we want to allow dogs, because a lot of people up there allow dogs, but it's like, how do we welcome dogs and also kids a good bit? We really wanted to bring kids in there as well, because it's a fun cabin. So, like, how do we marry the two? The owner came up with this really cute idea. So we got these little river rocks and paint pens, and we asked kids, like, hey, paint a picture of your dog and add it to our little dog rock garden.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
And people love it. So not only is it, like, a cute activity for the kids, we get to see all the dogs that have been there. If you notice the pictures of the dogs that we put on there too, they're kind of like modeling different aspects of the cabin.
Yeah.
So here's the view. Here's the fence. Here's, like you said, the wood pile that you can use. And look at the description of the actual cabin itself.
Let's do that.
We detailed every single thing that makes it pet and kid friendly. So, because again, how do we stand out specifically? So, dog friendliest mountain cabin, how are we going to really show that off?
So, I apologize to cut you off here, but you have a first aid kit for dogs. Like, and you have a picture of
dogs.
I love it. Like, I talk about this idea of, like, marketing these amenities that are going to drive revenue. It's not just like you check the box, hey, I'm pet friendly, but you are, like, marketing that you're pet friendly, and then you're taking it to an extreme, and it is paying off big time.
That's how awesome. Are we the dog friendliest?
Exactly.
And so, yeah, we've got stuff like the pet first aid kit, which I think people get in their head. They're like, oh, wow, we are going to a mountain cabin. Maybe there is going to be a rattlesnake or a bear or, like, something crazy in their mind. Oh, but don't worry, you know, Fifi, you'll be okay because there's a first aid kit. We also put in a lot of things that made it easier for us to be so dog friendly. So, for instance, we put in outdoor fire hydrants so that dogs can be washed off outside, like little pet fire hydrants, so that the dogs can be washed off outside. We have designated towels for the dogs. We have designated blankets for the dogs, furniture covers for the dogs. So not only is it like, oh, wow, you know, Fifi's really being taken care of, but also it makes it to where the human things in the cabin are kept more tidy. So there's, you can see the little coyote. Mm-hmm. That is one of our outdoor hydrants.
Okay. One of two hydrants. Yeah, it's loading. There it goes. Yep.
So you can give your dog some water if they're outside. They can play around in the yard. You can give them a bath. It also doubles for safety. If the fire pit gets too out of control, it's right next to the fire pit. Spray it down.
Yeah. This is really, really interesting. And I mean, so tell us again, how much revenue? Now, this is a two-bedroom property, but how much revenue are you generating off this property? Like, what's the gross revenue on this property?
This last year, we grossed $75,000, and that was a little bit less than a year, actually.
Wow.
We're going above and beyond what almost every neighbor is doing.
That's the thing. I was just in SCR Insights, and I was like, okay, $75,000, two bedrooms. What percentile is that falling in your market? And the 95th percentile is $62,000. So you're probably, like, either the top or the 99th, like, something around there, like, which is incredibly impressive for not being a new build. And there's a ton of new builds there. So I think the lesson that we can take away from this and tying it kind of all back into the saturation is when you're in a competitive market, do something unique and then lean into it. Now, I guess, how did you know that you needed to do all this to be pet, like the pet friendly was the way to go and not something else?
So we kind of played around with who was already coming or what requests were we getting.
So like your guest demographic, right?
Yeah. And because the cabin had been up for about a year before I started managing, we knew sort of who was coming to the area. We knew sort of, you know, what people were asking for. The owner was at first, she was a little more lenient on this one. I manage another cabin for her in Blue Ridge too, that she did not want pets at all.
Okay.
Until she saw how well this one performed.
Until she saw the green. Right?
Yeah. And then we did a full 180 there.
Yeah. Like, hold up.
So. We knew lots of people brought kids, lots of people brought pets. So like we put in the game room, and even with the game room, it's like we have a library of books, but not just any books. We have dog books. We have, you know, Fido goes to school books and books that people get excited about with their pet. So almost every single part of this cabin just emphasizes like your four-legged family members are part of the family.
Yeah.
And then again, providing those extra cleaning supplies too. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are like, okay, well, you made more money. You're at the top of the market, but how much damage are dogs doing? First off, like almost none. We've had one damage claim this entire year, which was from a dog who chewed up two pillows, little like throw pillows. Dog owners told us about it. They paid for it. There was no problem. But so other than yeah, I mean, it happens. Pillows need to be replaced anyway. That's my train of thought.
Right. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, and we give people what they need. So it's like, here's a lint roller if your dog sheds. Here's enzymatic cleaner if there's an accident. Like, here's a dirt buster if anything happens. Like, everything you could possibly need for a dog and more is inside of this cabin. Not just, yeah, your dog can come, here's a leash. So when people come, I notice that they take better care because they have every tool that they need.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. And are you building all this into your ADR, the property, your average daily rate, just increasing that? Or do you charge a pet fee? Like, what are you doing to kind of...
So we charge a pet fee, which has slowly... We kind of play with ADR versus the pet fee, kind of crept up each one to see which one makes the biggest difference. I would say 99% of our guests bring a pet.
I mean, this screams bring a pet, right?
Not every person does, but you're usually going to get really pet-friendly people, and we get a lot of engagement through pets. So like I said, we'll ask people, you know, hey, if your pup loved some fun, you know, send us a picture of them looking at the view or send us a picture of them enjoying their favorite thing while they're there. We also have a digital photo frame in the game room area where whenever we get photos, we upload it to there. So kids can literally watch the screen go and then there they are with their dog. Yeah. So it gets a lot of social media engagement too, which of course helps us just with bookings in general and with that visibility in general. Mm-hmm. So it's been great for the revenue, but it's even, I don't know, it's also just fun and people get really into it, especially the kids. And, you know, let me read a book to the dog while we look at this amazing view. And, you know, we have the crates and we have the leashes and the poop bags and everything you could possibly ever need for the dog is here. So they feel like their dog isn't a burden. Instead, it's like the most celebrated part of their trip.
Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you, so this is what you did in Blue Ridge. What about the other properties you have across the country? So not in this market. Have you done anything like this? Do you do anything else? Like, what do you do? Do you even have to worry about stuff like this in other markets?
It really depends on the market. So some of them just rent because it's an option. Like I have a property in LA that no matter what I did, it could be the worst and it would stay booked 24/7. Yeah. But that's the anomaly. So a lot of the different markets, I'll kind of take little pieces from this. Because I co-host, I have to work within the confines of what makes the owner comfortable.
Sure.
not every owner is comfortable doing this. If you look at the other cabin that I have that's on the river, it's actually the same owner, this one. However, they did not want this one to be pet friendly. They wanted to go with more of a luxury vibe, but kind of affordable luxury. So they didn't think that pets really fit the bill.
Yeah, let's transition over to this property too, and kind of you can keep going too. But I want to know, so this property, it's on the river. It's a 3-bedroom now. And for everybody listening, this is still in Blue Ridge. We're just now talking about a property on the river. This property, it is nice. It's got nice amenities. How old is this? Oh, it's pretty new, relatively new. How old is
it? It's older, but fully renovated. So it was renovated a couple of years ago, but it's not like a new build by any means. Now, it was an old fishing cabin.
Yeah, which I was about to say. So in the North Georgia Mountains, properties on water, like not creeks, but like legit like rivers like this, they do really well because there's fishing right there. People love fishing on there. So tell me, obviously there's a ton of photos here of, you know, the water, the amenities, being in the hot tub, fire pit by the water, people in the water, people sitting in chairs in the water, people fishing. Like, tell me, like how did you guys figure that out, that to know that that was the kind of recipe for success for this property?
So actually, this one was a little bit more difficult. We noticed that seasonality made a huge difference with the water. Whereas with the views, people like good views no matter what the season is. With the water, summer would do great, but as soon as people couldn't get in the creek, things would kind of dry up. And so it's like, all right, how do we keep this momentum going? How do we make people want to come here during the winter, especially? You mentioned it's 3 bedrooms. It technically is, but one of the rooms is quite small and only has like a little futon.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really kind of also pushes us more towards that 2-bedroom market, which is another thing that works against us.
How much is this property grossing?
Also around $75,000.
Okay. So, and I want everybody to, so $75,000 for a 3-bedroom, even though that this property is probably closer to a 2-bedroom. So $75,000 in LJ for a 3-bedroom, right? Or not LJ, sorry, Blue Ridge. We're still in Blue Ridge. So you're looking at somewhere between the 90th and 95th percentile. So you're still above the 90th percentile.
Still doing great.
For a 3-bedroom, even though it's a 2.5. So you're doing something right. And I think, once again, the lesson that I'm taking away from this is, obviously this isn't the pet-friendly one, but you're high, like you locked on to something unique about the property, which is it's on the water, and then you're marketing it like over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Like I said, people sitting in chairs in the river, people fishing, people like enjoying the amenities by the water, like these little things. This is what shows people, like kind of markets the experience. And I mean, it works. It's working for you, which is really, really incredible.
And these photos we change out. So we're going into summer, which is why all of these first photos are creek. Because we know you're going to want to get in the water. In the winter, we rearrange it to where it's more indoor wood-burning fireplace and the fire pit. The pets went over so well with the previous cabin, like I said, same owner, that she actually ended up started with allowing pets at this one. Now it's gotten to the point where she actually purchased the lot across the street and has turned it into an entire private dog park that she rents on Sniff Spot.
Okay.
Yep. So our guests, yep. If you scroll down, the photos will be in there. Like I said, we actually on the front side of the house. Yep.
Side of the house. Okay.
It's across the street, the other direction, probably just from the bottom. But now we can tell people, okay, if you have a really reactive dog, so there's the photo where it's got the little dog emoji, and then it's got the emoji of the cabin. That's to show you the distance. So okay. All the photos after that are of the private dog park.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, it's all. It's nice. Yep.
So we wanted a little more separation because, like I said, they went a little higher end with this cabin. It was a full remodel. So she didn't necessarily want it to be totally inundated with dog things like the other cabin is. But we realized that dogs just work. And so it's like, okay, well, if dogs work, but we don't necessarily want them here. We also didn't want the safety issue of like your dog running out in the river and it getting taken away. Now we have almost an entire acre across the street where they can either rent it during their entire stay for exclusive use, or they can rent it by the hour through Sniff Spot. And then we can also rent it to anybody in the area. So we get a lot of locals who just want to let their dogs come run off leash. So that's a whole different market that we didn't even mean to tap into.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah, kind of a side hustle than awesome. Cool. Let's transition a little bit. So we've seen kind of two really, really good examples. Once again, these are both in Blue Ridge, both market, this market that I'm just like, I hate on all the time. Not that I hate this market. I actually grew up in Georgia. So like Georgia's near and dear to the heart, but
it's a tough market.
It's an extremely tough market, but let's go to a tougher market in the same region. And we'll talk about this property that you showed me in Ellijay. Okay. So just real quick. So she's got another property in Ellijay, Georgia. This is a 3-bedroom. It's kid, pet friendly. It's got a resort access. Does this resort have a pool or anything, or what's the highlights of the resort? So shared indoor. Okay.
So it's actually got 2 outdoor pools, an indoor pool, hot tubs, an entire like fitness area, basketball courts, pickleball courts, tennis. I mean, every sport you could imagine.
This probably looks much nicer too than the other ones.
18-hole golf. I mean, you can go for nothing here.
So, okay. I mean, this all sounds really cool. And Ellijay is just, a little bit south of Blue Ridge, but same kind of region, North Georgia Mountains. But you told me though, before we get on here, that this property is it losing money or is it like breaking even? Like what's going on with this property?
We are lucky if we break even on a month and have never met our goal. Now, again, I like to think that I'm a, even manager. I'm doing the best I can for all of them.
Well, you've got the s'mores kit. You've got arcade room. I mean, this is compared to the other two properties. I mean, the quality is just much nicer. The amenities
are great. So it's not like we're getting negative feedback because the reviews on all 3 of them are great. The problem with this one is it's inside of Coosawattee River Resort, which anyone that's in Coosawattee has access to these resort amenities. And there are an abundance of short-term rentals. I mean, on any corner, if there's 10 properties, 8 of them are a short-term rental. So the amount of competition is absolutely insane. What makes that hard is like you're always keeping up with the Joneses.
Okay. You said something interesting to me before the call. So on that note, keeping up with the Joneses. So what happens when you add something?
So for instance, on this one, we decided to redo the fire pit that was outside. It was there already, but we put like this really cool local mountain laurel that's like woven around it just to really give it some nice aesthetic, put some handrails. You can see all this mountain laurel was hand woven by a local artist.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that's cool. It's gorgeous. It's an amazing property. The problem is, as soon as our neighbors saw that we were upping our fire pit, they ended up building an outdoor fireplace.
Oh.
That you don't even have to get off of the deck for. And then we put an outdoor TV on our deck so that, okay, you could hang out and watch TV, which then they added to their property. And so it's just constantly, you might do something good, but then someone else comes in and tries to one-up it over and over and over. You can see the outdoor TV there. We had a hot tub, but we were having issues with the deck that wasn't rated weighing enough. And then it was just kind of becoming a logistical nightmare. So we recently removed the hot tub, which also really hurt us, losing an amenity there, especially when everybody has a hot tub. I don't know another cabin in the area that doesn't have a hot tub. And you lose one amenity like that, and it just really, really tanks the business.
So this isn't a property you own. This is a property you co-host.
Correct. All three of these. Posted.
What do you think, like, if you could go back in time and talk to the owner who got this property, maybe it's a lifestyle asset for them, so maybe this isn't a great question, but what would you tell them to do different in this particular case?
So the hardest part about this cabin is that it doesn't have something that no one else has.
Oh, like it. I call that a moat. The moat. What's your moat? I say that all the time. What's the thing that separates you from everybody else? I love it.
It just doesn't have it. It doesn't. It's not on the water. It doesn't have mountain views. It has secluded tree views, which are nice, but a dime a dozen. It doesn't have something that just stops you in your tracks when you're scrolling. I mean, I suppose you could say the resort access, but there's thousands of cabins that have that same resort access.
Exactly.
So when you look at us on a map, we just get lost in the sauce. And we're constantly trying to work on it. In fact, the direction that I've tried to start going with this one is super, super, like, trying to be the kid-friendliest listing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us more. All right, like, what are your plans to do that? What have you added? Yeah. What do you plan on doing? Yeah.
So it's little by little, because it's hard to sink a bunch of money into a property that's been losing money for a year. But adding things like high chairs. And then in our photos, when we take a picture of the dining room, it has the high chair pulled up or the pack and play popped out in the living room. We have sidewalk chalk. So if you look at the photos, you'll see like some hopscotch that I drew on there. So just really trying to figure out. And then for the older kids, we've got board games. See, here's a little bunk area that we put in with little kid activities and games and Monopoly. We've added TVs to every single bedroom and TVs to each bunk. So even if you're in different bunks, you can watch different shows because kids tend to, you know, want to watch their games. We've got the arcade games in here for kind of the older kids. So that is the direction we're trying to go. It's just like I said, it's a really difficult market. Out of the three sides, so the front and both sides of the cabin, they're all three short-term rentals. So as soon as you do something, someone's like, oh, that's a cool idea. Let me do that. And it's a never-ending race.
Yeah. And we call that a zero-sum game. In every business, it's the same thing, like pricing. You know, one place drops their rates, another one has to drop their rates to compete if it's the same product. And so if we don't have the thing that separates us from everybody else, good luck. It's a kind of a never ending game all the way down to the bottom. So really interesting. So
yeah, we've kind of played with that a good bit too of like, well, is it worth putting the money into Keeping Up with the Joneses or do we come out on the bottom pricing? So like you can see this one's $130 a night for eight people in LJ with resort access. I mean, that's a great price. The problem is it still is an underperformer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just April's open. The rest of the
we're wide open. This is
done on the 12th of April, and the whole month of April until May is just completely open. So that's scary. That's the host's worst nightmare right there. So yeah.
One thing that I do see that's a little bit different and a direction that we've thought about going with this one too is more midterm rentals. Because Blue Ridge is so inundated with short term, it's actually hard for people to find a place just to regularly live. Right. Like the biggest struggle in Blue Ridge for me is finding a housekeeper who doesn't live 55 minutes away.
Yeah.
And so the person who checks in May, they're staying for about a month. We've got someone coming in a couple months for 3 or 4 months. So I'm thinking about actually completely flipping the script on this one and targeting those midterm, because for a lot of the cabins, they've put so much money into it that they can't get money out for a long-term rental. This one, you're performing so low that it's like, all right, well, that'd be better.
Better than nothing. So, I mean, that's a really good point. I like that you're thinking outside the box too, you know, and like, how can we make this even better? I mean, you've got a lot of good stuff here. So very, very impressive and unfortunate for the owners though. So,
we're working on it, but yeah, this is a perfect example of when the saturation is just impossible to beat.
it's tough in these markets. If you get you lock yourself in, you don't have that moat that separates you. That's where really that saturation comes in and can hurt. I do want to pivot and go to this last property. So this is a property that you own. So this is a studio property. Now, this is actually in a lake market. So this is in Martin, Georgia. And the lake, and then just Lake Martin, or is that the lake? What's the lake there?
Oh my gosh, now that you just asked me, I just blanked.
Lake Hartwell, right?
Lake Hartwell, thank you.
I can cheat and look at your listing, but yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, why am I blanking all of a sudden?
Yeah. So this is, okay, so this is a cool little studio, but it's not on the lake. So how is this property doing? Tell me the numbers on this property.
So this one is my highest ROI. We're at almost a 60% ROI. In 2 years, it will have paid itself off. In 3 years, it will be fully profit.
Wow.
Yes. So my husband and I, we really wanted a cabin. We were looking in Blue Ridge, looking in Ellijay. The problem is I just couldn't find anything where the numbers made sense. So we stayed in the Blue Ridge Mountains, but we went a little further out, which is how we wound up in Martin. This cabin we purchased for $62,000. It was an old hunting cabin, fallen apart, almost completely dilapidated. We did a bunch of work ourselves. And then this past year, it brought in $35,000.
Wow.
Our all in was around $75,000 for purchase, furnish, renovations, everything.
Wow. Did you guys do some of the renovations yourself?
Most of it ourselves. Yep.
Sure. Cool. Yeah. So, really nice. This is incredible.
Yeah. For this one, what we tried to do was have all the amenities, but keep it on a budget. So like instead of getting a hot tub for $10,000 that requires all this upkeep, we got an inflatable hot tub. We put like an outdoor TV outside. So it feels nice, but a lot of these are, you know, marketplace finds, Amazon finds. And it was like, how, if we wanted to travel and we wanted to experience all these fun amenities, how could we still afford it? So really our niche market here is couples on a budget.
I like it. Yeah, this is really, really cool. So yeah, this is impressive. I mean, and for not being on the lake, you know, and just being a nice, cute cabin that couples can get away to. I like what you said, and I'll probably do another podcast on this, is understanding your guest demographic, your guest avatar. What you said couples on a budget. It's not just couples. When people get a studio or one bedroom, they're like, couples, you know, or single individuals or people, you know, like they're trying to market to everybody. And when you do that, you're marketing to nobody. So like with your hot tub, you got the, I don't know what this day bed thing is called, but it's two people, right? You know, and then like the inside of the home, you've got games there. It's all like kind of like 2 to 4 people can comfortably sit together, do stuff together. And it does scream like, couples on a budget. I love that. And it's nice and cute and lots of stuff to do. So I love the picture grilling with the food and everything. So yeah, that's awesome.
Well, really for us, like we're a couple and when we travel, we're usually on a budget. And a lot of times people get so caught up in how do I make this the best? How do I be the top? How do I make it number one? And for us, it was not about being number one. It was just like, you know what? I want it to be realistic. I want it to be affordable, which means purchasing affordable, which means furnishing affordable, which means, you know, providing enough amenities, but not so much that you're pricing people out. So this one is definitely our little baby. I have stolen ideas from some of the other cabins that I manage, of course. Yep. So we're actually doing a little bit of work to the cabin right now. It flooded about 2 months ago.
Goodness.
Yeah. Sucks, but it's the greatest opportunity if you want to change some things. So here we go. Insurance, we're changing a couple of things, but I want to turn it into even more pet friendly because We noticed that most of our couples, they're kind of millennial age, maybe older Gen Z, and they all have pets. And so before it was kind of like we allowed pets. Okay, here's a crate, you know, here's some spray. But I really want to amp up that side and kind of copy some fun because I've seen it do so well there. And as a millennial with no kids and 2 dogs, that's what I am. That's who I want to speak to because I think that's who understands the cabin the best.
Right. That's really, really cool. I like that. I like that strategy and kind of a, not necessarily the most fortunate circumstances, but still like an opportunity to upgrade and make the place even better and better serve your guest avatar, which you kind of really dialed in on. So I love that. Elizabeth, this has been super informative and helpful. I know that all the listeners are going to appreciate this because I appreciate it. I learned a lot and kind of saw things. And I do want to highlight everyone listening, although I hate on certain markets, there are people out there who are successful in them. And we just got to learn from them and figure out what they're doing. Now, am I going to encourage lots of people to invest in Blue Ridge? No, probably not. But doing these things in these type of markets can help you get ahead. And honestly, if people are looking for a co-host out there, Elizabeth, are you taking on clients still?
Absolutely.
What's the best way people can, we'll put something in the show notes or something, but what's the best way people can reach out to you and get your information?
Yeah. So my website is meta-capital-llc.com.
Okay.
So you're more than welcome to look on there. You can see all of my listings. I also do designing. I do furnishing because it's easier if you just set the place up right for guests from the beginning.
So metacapital.com?
Meta-capital-llc. That is it.
Okay. So there we go. Watch on YouTube. You can see the site there. Well, Elizabeth, I appreciate you joining and sharing your experience. And
yes.
This has been super awesome. And guys, honestly, like I look at a lot of properties. I'm gonna be very straight here with everybody. I look at a lot of properties. I see a lot of co-hosts. She's got it figured out. If I was in this market, I would definitely be giving her a call and trying to get at least a consultation from her. We looked at 4 properties and she's doing something like something unique in each of these properties. Even the LJ one that's struggling, they're doing things that it's very impressive. And so I talk about all the time that I don't see a lot of properties do. So kudos to you. You obviously are a master at your craft. So
we'll throw in one tidbit before we go.
Go ahead.
Hopefully it's not one you have to cut out, but that's why I wanted to save it for the end.
No, this is great. Go ahead.
Like I said, live in Atlanta. So a good many of the properties that I manage here are in Atlanta.
Okay.
And one of the problems that we had here, also lots of saturation, but also lots of partying and smoking and blah, blah, blah. Of course, you know, it's a party city.
Yeah.
So one of the properties that I was managing, we had so many issues with smokers in it. Usually people smoke and pot, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it was like every time the housekeeper showed up, she's like, they're smoking inside. They're smoking inside. They're smoking inside. To the point where I was like, you know what? Maybe our guest avatar just smokes pot and we just accept that. And so when you find a niche like that, especially if you're in an area like Blue Ridge where it's so oversaturated, or in Atlanta where you get it's saturated here too. If you find kind of a weird niche, sometimes that can really be the end, because now we're listed on like Bed and Breakfast, Airbnb, smoker friendly on Airbnb. It exists.
Great. Yeah.
So that's another one that I wanted to throw out there, and doesn't have to be dogs. Doesn't have to be smoking. Doesn't have to be kids. Whatever you find that people are struggling to find somewhere else to stay, you kind of get them by default. When someone else says, ew, I don't want your dog prints on my couch, I'm like, come on, baby. We got a pet cover. We got leather furniture. Yeah. You know, everything you need.
That's great. Okay, cool. And that's, like I said, you're really creative with this, which is cool. Like the stuff I'd be like, what? I'd be struggling to kind of figure out. So, and take a chance on, you know, I think that's important too. Great. Well, Elizabeth, once again, thank you so much for being on the show with us. Everybody, thank you for listening. And guys, if you found this episode helpful, if you found what Elizabeth said that was helpful, number one, go check out her website. I put the banner down below, meta-capitalllc.com. And then finally, if you guys enjoyed this episode, please leave a review in either Spotify or Apple. Would love a 5-star review, just asking for that, but as a host too. But leave that review and let me know. Let me know as well if you enjoyed the format and the content here. Thanks once again, and you guys have a good rest of your day.